We give Jesus a praise in this place.
Don't even need a microphone. Amen. You know, when I first got here, as I was in study and preparation for this week, I felt like the theme of this revival would be real repentance, real revival. And the scripture that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart just for a theme of this revival is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Y'all are going to get tired of me saying this by the end of the revival. But God, speaking to His people, said, "If my people," that's us, "which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Amen? Church, if we're to get serious about having real revival, we've got to have real repentance. But listen, before I get into the Word of God tonight, I just want to make mention of a couple things. We felt impressed by the Lord to have a baptism after service on Wednesday night. Baptism is a public confession of an inward change. Amen? It is symbolic of death, burial, and resurrection in Christ. If you've not been baptized, or if you've been one of the ones that have given their life to the Lord here this week, we just ask you to sign up if you want to be baptized. We've got a paper out on that table because we won't be able to get it prepared unless we have people sign up. We won't know to get it prepared. So we're believing that is a commandment from the Lord. The Bible says repent and be baptized, every one of you. So we're hoping that we have some people that want to be baptized there Wednesday. With that being said, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes. Does everybody in here believe that the gospel is still enough? Amen. Amen. About 10 minutes before service, the Lord changed my mind on what I was going to preach in here tonight. I felt like that I was supposed to come in here and just preach a gospel message tonight. So, I think sometimes we need to be reminded about whom we serve. Amen? So I don't know what you came in here with. I don't know what kind of baggage you're carrying around. I don't know what kind of sickness you may be dealing with. I don't know what kind of sin you may be dealing with in this place tonight. But I've got some good news for you. I'm going to tell you about the one who has the power to change everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would that you would stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. I don't think I'll be before you very long tonight, but I'm going to preach what the Lord gave me. Colossians 1, 16 through 20. And the Bible says, "For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." Can somebody give the name of Jesus some praise in this house? Tonight I want to talk to you just a few minutes about His power. His power. I think sometimes we forget whom we serve. Amen? Does anybody in here come in with any problems? I can't be the only one, y'all. Amen? Let me try this side of the room. Has anybody over here got any problems? Amen. Does anybody have any concerns? Has anybody turned the news on lately? But I've got good news. The answer to all worldly problems can be solved by one simple thing: His power. Hit your neighbor and say, Jesus is King. I would that you would pray for me and with me. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we just ask you, Lord, to touch this service, God. I pray, God, that you speak through me, God, that you anoint my lips, God. I pray, God, that your word come forth in this house, Lord, and not mine, Lord. I pray, God, that you send the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that he just dwells in our midst, God. We can't do anything without you, Lord, and we just ask you to help us in this service tonight, God. I pray, God, that you touch the hearts and the minds of the hearers, God, that they be open to receive thy word, Lord, that they be open to receive your freedom, God, that they be open to receive your forgiveness, God, Lord, that they be open to receive your salvation, God. And we just ask you to help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, Amen. You may be seated. See, in a world that's turned upside down, where it seems like everything has gone crazy, where evil is called good and good is called evil, what we're seeing is prophetic, actually. How many in here believe that Jesus is coming soon? Hit your neighbor and say, we better get ready. The Bible tells us, speaking of about the rapture of the church, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This phrase here, falling away, is translated from the original Greek, apostasia. It doesn't mean that the churches will be empty, but it means there will be a defection from biblical truth. That's what that word means. In the last days, many within the professing church will depart from biblical truth. And how many in here know that if the church falls away from biblical truth, society and this world gets in a crazy mess? Amen? And that's where we're at today. But I think so often we look at all the problems, all the struggles we have, all the crazy things going on in the world, and we forget how big and how powerful our Lord Jesus Christ is. But I come to tell you tonight that no matter the circumstance, no matter what is going on, there is power to change any situation, and it comes from Jesus Christ. Somebody praise the name of Jesus in this house. See, it was Jesus that created all things and has always been and will always be. In Genesis 1 and 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In John 1, 1 through 3, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Hallelujah. And down in the 14th verse, the Bible says, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, hallelujah, as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, hallelujah. Then He says in Revelation 1 and 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty, hallelujah. See, He was there in creation. He spoke everything that is into creation, and no matter what it may seem like to our sight, He will always have the final word. The Bible says He's our very present help in the time of trouble. Very present. Hallelujah. The Bible refers to Him throughout the Scripture. He refers to Himself as I am. Amen. In the Old Testament, God told Moses to tell them, I am hath sent you. And I want you to get this. He is. This is present tense, amen. Not He was, hallelujah, but He is. He is all powerful. He is always present. He is all knowing. He will always be. And He is in control. Amen. It was Jesus that created you in his image. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, hallelujah. Have you ever thought about what this says about how much you're loved? That we were created in his image. Hallelujah. See, we are his prized possession. It was Jesus that told us that he would be crucified, but would resurrect 3 days later. In John 2:19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. In Matthew 12:40, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. See, when Jesus was crucified, oh, listen to me, the devil thought he had him. Oh, but hallelujah, 3 days later, Jesus stood up and he walked right out of the tomb, hallelujah. And I came to tell somebody tonight, the devil may think they have you, hallelujah, but I know the one that can change things, and I know the one that can set you free, hallelujah. And then we read in Luke 24, 3 days after he was crucified, when Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and the other woman came to the tomb, the Bible says in Luke 24, 5 and 6, that two men in shining apparel said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Hallelujah. In Matthew, the Bible says, when the women got to the tomb, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord rolled back the stone and said, he's not here, he is risen. But how many in here know that the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out? Oh, no, he was already gone, hallelujah. The stone was rolled away so that we could see the empty tomb, hallelujah. Why? Because no walls can hold him. No grave can hold him down. There's nothing that can contain him. There's nothing that can defeat him. He is undefeated. He wins every battle. He is the name above every other name. Somebody praise the name of Jesus. Think it's time we stop walking around defeated? Come on, somebody. I don't know if I'm mad or anointed. It was Jesus that took the keys of hell and of death. In Revelation 1:18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The Bible says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It was Jesus. Oh, hear me. I don't know what you're going through, but it was Jesus that got inside the fiery tomb with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? So whatever you're going through, I'm telling you, you can count on him. He'll be right with you. Amen? It was Jesus that went through what we go through. He knows what it feels like to be you, and he is compassionate. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In John 11:35, the Bible says Jesus wept. Hit your neighbor and say, he weeps for you. It was Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 that overcame the tempter in the wilderness by saying, devil, it is written, hallelujah. The same way that we can overcome temptation today, amen? But I want you to catch this. He knew the Word of God. The Bible refers to the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. It is our weapon, amen? The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. The Bible tells us in James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and remaining wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. You know what that word implanted means? Exactly what King David was talking about. Put in. Amen? Hallelujah. Have you implanted the Word of God? Let's say there's something that you have wanted more than anything. You go ahead and order it online. When it comes in, there's assembly required. You keep trying to put it together but keep failing because you refuse to read the instructions. Now, wives, don't be looking at your husbands. That ain't right. This altar's going to be open in a minute. But seriously, when it comes in, you keep failing because you fail to read the instructions. But so many profess to want heaven more than anything. But they fail to read the instructions. How serious can you be about wanting it more than anything if you don't take the time to hide His Word in your heart? And how many in here know that this isn't a rule book, but this is a book of love? Hallelujah. Does everybody know that God's warnings, that God's love is seen in His warnings? Amen. He don't just let us walk off a cliff. But this is a book of love. 66 books penned by 35 to 40 people over the span of 1,500 years. All for you. Why? Because God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, but listen, there's a way out. Amen? I don't care what kind of mess you've gotten into, there is a way out. Hallelujah. And He's here tonight. Amen? And then the Bible says, because the straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be part of the few. And I want each and every one of you all to be part of the few. Hit your neighbor and say, let's get it right. It was Jesus that gave us power over darkness. In Luke chapter 10, 19 and 20, He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Is your name written in heaven? Are you sure? It can be tonight. It was Jesus that commissioned us to go forth and walk in the power and the authority that He has given us. In Mark 16, 15 through 18, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. And it's to Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. I don't know, I just feel like I need to say this for somebody. Stop giving the enemy so much power in your life. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And realize the God in whom we serve. He gives us all authority to tread over all things of the enemy. So I don't know what you came in here with. I don't know what the devil's been whispering to you, saying you'll never get out of this. The devil is a liar, and Jesus Christ will set you free in this place tonight. It was Jesus that cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out of the tomb. The Bible says in John 11, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Hallelujah. Does everybody in here know you can't be any more far gone than Lazarus? Oh, come on, somebody. I don't care how far gone you may think you are, hallelujah. I don't care how far down in the tomb you may feel like. I don't know if maybe the world's written you off and they said, "I don't want nothing to do with him. He's got a stench." Oh, but I know the one that does, and he'll say, "Come on up out of that tomb tonight," hallelujah. And get this. The Bible says that Lazarus was bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." I don't care if you came in here and you feel like you're bound hand and foot. This is the same Jesus that set the captive free. Amen. This is the same Jesus that said, "Loose him and let him go." Hallelujah. And he'll do the same thing in here tonight. And it's Jesus who never changes. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I said all that to say this. We serve a big God. Never lose sight of how big our God is. Don't let your problems appear bigger than our God. Don't let your sins appear bigger than your God. No addictions can stand to his power. No demonic forces can stand to his power. There is freedom in this house, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ. But God told me to come in here and tell somebody tonight. It's time that you let go of it and trust the one that overcomes everything. Quit trying to be a better person and commit to the only one that can change you. Quit worrying about what people say, because the only one that can judge you is the one that died for you. See, the issues of this life are nothing for our God. We are made more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let me tell you who we're talking about here. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings, hallelujah. He's the great I Am. The Lion of Judah, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one that created everything, the one that overcame everything, and the one that has the final say in everything. Somebody praise the name of Jesus in this place. Brother, if you would, give me a little music. It's this Jesus, this same Jesus, that will judge each and every person that has ever walked the face of the earth. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." The Bible says in Romans 14:10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." We read plainly that there are two destinations for eternity: eternal life for the righteous and eternal punishment for the wicked. There is coming a day of separation, church. We read about the wheat and the tares. The wheat were taken in, and the tares were cast into the fire. We read about the goats and the sheep. The goats into everlasting punishment, and the sheep, which were the righteous, into everlasting life. So I ask you tonight, are you a wheat or a tare? Are you a goat or a sheep? Have you been living a life that's pleasing to God? Have you truly and fully committed your life to Christ? Or have you just been going through the motions? When the Bible speaks of heaven, I think of this verse. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which are in store for them that love him. Do you love him in here, church? A lot of people profess to love him. Have you ever had somebody tell you they loved you, but you find out later that they really didn't care about you at all? Everybody? Come on, y'all. How did you find out? It was by the fruit that they bore. Amen? See, our fruit tells all truth. So are you bearing fruit that would indicate your love for Christ? The Bible says, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. A lot of people have deceived their own selves. And I want you to know, you've heard me say this, this is not a message of condemnation, but this is a message of redemption. Amen? Jesus doesn't come to condemn. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He brings in preachers like me to share a word that you need to hear because he wants to save you. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Hallelujah. But hallelujah, if God is dealing with you, if God is talking to you tonight, if God is speaking to you through this message, we've been offered the gift of repentance. So often we think of repentance as something negative. Oh, I got to give something up. And we do. But repentance is a gift. Amen? And here's the thing. We can't even repent without his help. He helps us to do it. Amen? But it's a gift. If you commit a crime, and you did it, and you got caught, you couldn't go to the judge and say, Judge, I'm sorry, I've changed my ways. I've decided to live the way that I'm supposed to and get out of trouble. You would still pay the price. You would still face the punishment. Oh, but I thank God. I thank God that when we come to the Lord Jesus and we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. Hallelujah. I come to tell somebody tonight that the charges are dropped. Hallelujah. Sure, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight, y'all. Woo! See, we have that ability to come to Christ because it was this same Jesus that was beaten, smitten, whipped, spat on, mocked. And after all this, he picked up his cross, the very cross that he would die on, and dragged it up Calvary's hill. The Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, it was Jesus that hung on the cross of Calvary so that you could have your sins washed away. so that you could be set free, so that you could be changed, and so that you could be saved. It was Jesus that said, "It is finished." That stuff you're dealing with, it's finished. Give it to Jesus tonight. You know what that word, that phrase, "it is finished," means in the original Greek? We had a debt we couldn't pay. Amen. We had no hope. But when he said, "It is finished," he was saying, "Paid in full." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can walk out of here with a clean slate tonight. I don't know what you've been dealing with, but I know I can feel the Holy Ghost pushing me. So he's ministering to somebody in this place. See, he paid the price for your sins because he loves you and he wants you to be saved, and he wants to have that true life-giving, life-transforming relationship with you. But it all boils down to choices. I'm almost done, y'all. Hang with me. I've told you how much power he has, how he has overcome everything, that nothing on this earth or under the earth can stand to the name of Jesus. So I'm fully convinced that if you're living in bondage, it's a choice. If you're living in some kind of unrepentant sin that you can't seem to break free from, it's a choice. See, it was Jesus that said, "Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It was Jesus that tells us to cast all of our care upon him, for he cares for us. It was Jesus that said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And he's still the same Jesus that never changes. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, no matter what kind of mess you may be in, no matter what kind of sin you may be dealing with, Jesus is here for you, and he wants to change your life in this place tonight. As I close, I think of the rich young ruler. In Mark chapter 10, the Bible says these words. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus answered and said, 'Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.'" And I want you to get this. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him," oh, listen, "one thing you lack. Go thy way, sell all that you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And the Bible says that he was sad at that saying, for he had great possessions. Church, I want you to understand what this story is telling us. He wasn't willing to fully commit. And that's what it takes, full commitment. I want you to catch this. The Bible says that Jesus looked upon him and loved him and said, "This one thing you lack." And the Bible says this poor young man, he had worldly riches, but he was poor because he didn't have Christ. Amen. Says that he turned away from Jesus and went away sad. And I want you to understand, as much as Christ loved him, as much as he loves each and every one of you in this place tonight, the requirement does not change. The standard does not change. So I feel like I need to ask somebody tonight, do you have a one thing? And are you willing to lay it down tonight? Or will you turn around and go away sad? I would that everyone stand, bow your head and close your eyes. No one looking around. If God is speaking to you through this message, I'm going to ask you to respond. I'm going to ask you to make a decision. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come and get you. But one way or the other, you will make a decision in this place tonight. You've heard about the power that's found in Jesus Christ. I don't know what you came in here with tonight, but I'm telling you, He will set you free. I'm telling you, I don't know if you've strayed away from the Lord or what's been going on, but He will forgive you tonight. Maybe there's some under the sound of my voice that have never known Jesus. Or maybe there's some that have never really, truly committed. Maybe you've just been going through the motions. Or maybe there's some that...